You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Episode 79, The Paradox.
Welcome to The Paradox with your attending, Dr. Eric Larson. He is a practicing anesthesiologist and clinical assistant professor at Michigan State University College of Human Medicine. Listen in as he takes you behind the scenes of what practicing medicine in today's ever-changing world is like with another doctor. The Paradox is a fun and accidentally informative show for physicians, patients, or anyone who has ever found themselves in a waiting room.
Welcome to The Paradox. I'm your host, Dr. Eric Larson. Thank you for joining me as we explore the U.S. medical system in a fun and informative format through expert analysis. Today's expert is Dr. Bill Hennessy, the CEO of Prater. Prater is a company he founded in order to improve price transparency for large organizations like self-funding employers or unions. Essentially, these organizations decide to take on the cost of insurance within their own house in order to decrease the size of their pool and ways of better controlling costs than they can through a traditional insurance company. They will use insurance companies to administer the claims, but hope that through their due diligence, they'll be able to save money better than they can get through a traditional healthcare plan that's provided by the insurers. I think you'll be as excited as I was in listening to this, because you can definitely see glimmers, as we've seen in many parts of the show in the past, of ways of truly transforming the healthcare market, and not through government fiat or laws being passed, which is slow, clumsy, one-size-fits-all, or oftentimes one-size-fits-none solutions that get bogged down in courts and through regulatory actions. But we have actual market forces working, ones where the consumers are winning, and ultimately, that's you and me, whether we're an employee or whether we're someone actually buying our care on a market, but where we have things that are forcing actual price transparency, and there's a demand within the market for prices. Right now, there isn't. There is some small demand from some people who don't have insurance, but as more and more people are facing higher deductibles in their plans, they're becoming much more judicious in their consuming healthcare services, whether this is imaging, surgery, medications, laboratory. But essentially, people are demanding to know what things cost, because they're actually responsible for the cost. And this goes along with the whole third-party payer system. We've talked about it, sort of a kind of crazy way to deliver healthcare, but that's the way it is right now for the most part. But anyway, the fact that now there is more of a market, to have a market, you have to have known discoverable prices of the products and services that are being delivered. Right now, the system was not designed for that, because no one ever cared. They would just go wherever their doctor sent them or wherever they just wanted to get care. Now prices matter. And since they matter, people are seeking them out, and the market is forcing these prices to be discoverable. That is where Prater comes in. They're the ones who are the first, I think. Maybe there are others, but certainly not. They won't be the only one who are out there looking to find the best prices for the products that are, we'll say, commoditized, or things that are repeatable, like a CT scan, an MRI, things where there's not a whole lot of variation based on, you know, where you're going. The same MRI scanner probably is in every institution, or at least the quality of it. And so it doesn't really matter where you go, except the price might be 10 times more at one place than another. And so that would make a huge difference to someone who's actually paying out of pocket or for paying towards your deductible. So that's why prices suddenly matter. And Prater is just using their proprietary information, and he'll go into exactly how he does this. But essentially, they find out how much of it costs based on your insurance carrier, and they just find out the best places to go for the best price. This is a way for employers, obviously, to steer their employees or their union members or, you know, within their group to the right places, the ones that are cheaper. But it's also a way if hopefully at some point the individual consumers will have access to this information as well, which is, I think, what ultimately will happen when enough people start demanding this, which they are starting to. And then you can pass all the laws you want to try and prevent that, or you can pass the laws to try and, you know, advocate for that. It won't really matter, because the market will already have figure this out and solve this problem, which is usually how markets work. They don't always work perfectly. They don't always work the way we want them to work. But essentially, if we unleash the market forces, they will usually drive things in the way of greater transparency, greater ability to make decisions, at least as best we can make them oftentimes. But anyway, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Bill Hennessy of Prater Incorporated and a discussion on achieving healthcare price transparency without an executive order. Enjoy. Welcome. I'm here with my new friend, Dr. Bill Hennessy, who's a CEO and a doctor at Prater. And so, Dr. Hennessy, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me, and happy Prater Day.
Yes, I love the tagline. So why don't you just start in, before I gave a little intro earlier in the show, but why don't you just go into your background? I know your doc. What kind of doc are you, and how you started in Prater, and what, I guess, made you decide to launch this company?
I love possessing the entrepreneurial spirit, and the goal is to help millions save billions on medical care. So I use my medical skills as an MD. I also own a physician billing company, so I use my medical billing skills. I'm the son of a father who's been a hospital C-suite executive for over 50 years, now just retired. He deserves it. And so the Hennessys focus on the business side of medicine. So I've combined my medical billing and medical business skills to develop true cost transparency and affordable access to care for all working Americans. So in about 2014, I realized that the deductibles were so high that 80% of working America is paying for all of its care out of pocket each and every year. So while we may have been paying in the past $2,500 a month for a family of four, or $30,000 a year to a Blue Shield, United, Cigna, or Aetna, and then having a $6,000 deductible, of which the average family is only using $3,000.
Yeah.
What do we really get for $33,000? The answer is $3,000 worth of care. Yeah. Well, I can do addition and subtraction, maybe not much more, but the goal was then to separate care from insurance. Insurance is for a catastrophe. Routine care, like a doctor visit, blood work, imaging, or surgery center care, like a 5-minute carpal tunnel release or a 10-minute GI scope, that's outpatient routine commodity care. And we've seen that vary in the carrier networks by 1,000%. That's crazy. So I'll let you steer this ship, but think of it I'll be quiet in a second. Think of it this way. Employers are paying $30 per employee per month to access the privilege of a carrier network that permits 1,000% pricing variation. Let's have Dr. Eric go ahead and be a part of a car buying network and pay $30 a month. And today you get the Ford Escape for $30,000. Tomorrow you go to a different dealer and you get the same Ford Escape for $300,000, but you don't know until March when you get the surprise car bill.
Yeah,
that's your health plan. I just thought we could do better.
Yeah, it's actually, we talked about this a lot in the show. It's stunning that this sort of system even exists, right? Like it would be hard to imagine a more expensive system to design than the one we have, where we're paying exorbitant prices for routine and simple care. You know, I have a direct primary care doc, which I know my listeners know. And so I'm paying pennies on the dollar for my medications now. I'm paying 1/10 or 1/20 what I would normally for lab work. Not that I get a lot of those things. I mean, I don't actually utilize it much, but I'm that person who, you know, just paying a premium and getting nothing, except I guess for the catastrophic care. But as you said, you're still looking on the hook for the deductible.
You have no middleman. That's what you just said. There's no middleman. And so that's where healthcare and health insurance have gotten blended and confused by the hospitals and the carriers. They hide soup to nuts from pricing A to Z. It's hidden. But when there is no middleman, you can get a fantastic price, and you are proof of business concept right in what you just said.
Right. I mean, I think it's very telling when you're listening to politicians speak about it, or you're listening to somebody in the news, and they're talking about, you know, people don't have health insurance, and then they use it synonymously with healthcare, and they are entirely different, right? It's like whether you have homeowners insurance or not does not preclude the fact that you might have a house. it's a you know, sleight of hand or whatever, and it sort of mangles what actually the whole point of insurance is, which is, I guess, where you come into. But you obviously went into why you set up Prater. I assume you're, did you go into medicine? So your dad's a hospital exec. Did you go into medicine with the expectation that you go into the business side of it? Or is that something that sort of you fell into after in practice a little bit?
It evolved. By training, I'm a physical medicine and rehabilitation MD. I enjoy using anatomy and common sense to solve problems and motivate people. And now I realize that as a CEO of Prater, instead of helping 15 patients a day, the goal is to help millions save billions. We need to have affordable access to care, and insurance is only for catastrophe. For all this routine care, which is what most of us of working age get, we need to make it a commoditized market. Prater's not going to be happy until it's like a gas station.
Yeah.
The difference between the price of a chest x-ray at location A and location B is 2 cents different. That's when we're going to be happy.
Yeah. Well, and that also explains your picture where you have a bunch of anatomy posters behind you. So it explains the PM&R thing. and so that when it comes to the commoditization, I guess let's talk about actually maybe the Prater and sort of where you formed and the main customers you started serving, I guess, would probably be the self-insured. These are companies. Can you explain what self-insuring is for companies? Because I think most people assume that all insurance is sort of the same, like whether you buy it on the market or whether you get it through your employer, it's the same sort of process, except it's just the only difference is where the expense comes. You know, the employer pays a share versus if you're just buying it on the market, you're paying the full price. Can you explain what the whole self-insurance thing is and how that might be a little bit different?
Well, certainly. And so you are correct. The self-insured employer and self-insured union, that's Prater's customer base. That now is expanded into the independent health plan third-party administrators. But let's stick to the self-insureds. What does self-insured mean? The answer is you as the employer or union are paying all your bills. You're paying them perhaps at a Blue Shield rate, and Blue Shield is administering the claims. But even when I've spoken with Fortune 500 company executives, if they think I have an Aetna card.
Yeah.
Aetna's paying my bills. No. You're here in Pittsburgh. You're employed by Heinz. Heinz is paying your bills. Aetna's merely the processor of it. And so when you're self-insured, you just say, look, we're big enough. We're not out to make the insurance companies rich. We're here to better manage our costs, and we're only going to pay for the care we get and nothing more. And so our mindset at Prater is this. You have full access to the bills. The legal technicality of it is, in this example, Aetna does not own the medical bills. Heinz does not own the medical bills. The Heinz health plan owns the medical bills. Heinz has a fiduciary, a federal fiduciary known as ERISA, E-R-I-S-A, to properly manage all benefit spend. And for healthcare, that's now for $3 going to healthcare for every $1 goes in retirement. We know that employers and unions are not allowed to squander and take risky investments for your retirement. Well, they have to manage your spend. So Prater understands that the employers and unions that are self-insured have full access to copies of the bills they paid. It's really no different than they went to the grocery store or restaurant. You got a bill, it's yours. Prater says, give them to us. We'll put them through a 20-step proprietary process, and we'll make them second grade easy to understand. We're going to give you a Prater report. We're going to name the names of your cost drivers, the names of the providers, the real prices paid, and how many claims occurred at each one. And the top 12 or so make up half your spend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty simple. Yeah, there's 10,000 billing codes, but you got to just focus on maybe two or three care items out of your top 12, and you have a huge effect instantly. You're going to know the good and bad price providers and the good and bad purchasing habits of your membership. Right now, employers are purchasing care blindly. And after they do so, they still don't look at their bills. Well, we're changing that right now. Oh, and by the way, all of those claims data become searchable on our search engine by test name and zip code. So now everybody gets to see the real prices. And that's the way it should be. And when real pricing exists, we eliminate cronyism and we create capitalism and there's lower pricing.
So I guess that the way for self-insurance, the way to look at it is if you're buying a product from, let's say, just straight Blue Cross Blue Shield, you're basically taking on the risk of the entire pool of people who are using Blue Cross Blue Shield. And so if you're a company, you say, let's just take our employees out of that pool. We'll pay all the bills. We think that there's a way for us to control our costs. We're not going to have the people who are super sick who might be Blue Cross who, you know, don't work or something like that. And so we think that's a way for us to have a better handle on our costs. And so that's why we'll choose the self-insuring. And then likewise, we have to have someone to process the claims, establish networks, find the providers and, you know, the imaging centers, all that stuff. And so that's why you contract with an insurance company to do that sort of middleman or sort of contract part for the to establish networks like an Aetna or Blue Cross. Is that pretty accurate description?
Yes, it's called administering the claims or paying the claims. Somebody has to do that for these employers, even when they're self-insured.
Right. And so then your step is you come in and you say, you're paying these bills, but I'm going to show you, I guess a good thing to explain to people is that, you know, when almost all billing is done through insurance is done through a CPT codes, common procedure tables, right? Those are 5-digit numbers or whatever, and every visit that you have, like a different type of well check or a surgery or any sort of procedure, they all have these codes, and there are thousands of them. And so, if you know, you may go to the hospital, you may have 10 codes that are done. And so, what you do is you basically say, okay, you're going to go, and we're going to tell you, we decipher all these codes and tell you exactly what services people got, and we're going to tell you the 10 that were the most expensive, and if had you had it done, you know, at location X instead of location Y, you'd have saved yourself, you know, $1 million or something. And so that's sort of like what you provide, correct?
Yes, we're the only company in America line itemizing a bill. We're showing the name of the test, the name of the provider, and the real price paid. Anybody with a second grade education can understand it.
Which is important for HR. That's unfair. But so you mentioned that unions use this, obviously self-insured. Now not everybody has access to your price transparency, right? I mean, obviously you have to be a member of your company, right? To see, you know, how much MRIs cost in Detroit versus, you know, Flint or something.
Yes, there has to be a transition. So, you know, in our stage of a company now, 6 years old and growing, we have focused on businesses and unions. And then that's to get the revenue jump started. Mm-hmm. And then we will eventually, sooner than later, add to permit the individual consumers to join. And for this commodity care market, we're coming out with a fourth IT platform known as the Pratter Pricing Portal by the end of March.
Oh.
And what that's going to do for anybody is we have two things. Number one, we're going to show you what Medicare pays. And number two, we're going to show you what the carrier pays for any care item. And so these are real numbers based upon our data. For every care item purchased in America, we're teaching that there's four price tags. One, the charge. That's the retail amount. Mm-hmm. It's always the highest. It's ridiculously high in many instances for hospital care. Two, the insurance company discount. It can still be pretty high. Recall, I said that per care item, there's 1,000% pricing variation at this discount. I think it should be one same low price across the board per care item if they're leveraging their membership for the better of their membership instead of being loyal to their fiduciary, which is the investor. Number three, cash. Number four, Medicare. The largest payer of healthcare in the United States is Medicare. And some people out there that, why is cash price got to be higher than Medicare? The answer is cash has to be, because taxpayer dollar must get best advantage, or else the federal government considers it fraud. We can't give a better deal to somebody else other than taxpayer dollar. And I'm okay with that. So for our goal on our Prater pricing portal, you put in a test name, you get to see the Medicare price, and you get to see the carrier price. The deal is in between. So if you're getting 20 or 30% more than Medicare, that's a great cash price. That's an awful lot less than the insurance company's discount. And since 80% of working America never meets its discount, you now know what price you should pay based upon real data that with any outside interference from any insurance companies or hospitals. Then we have a money map. All the best price providers in all 50 states for blood work centers, imaging centers, surgery centers, and urgent care centers. Using our money map in a carrier network on average is 60% less than the ones that didn't qualify. Prater's vetted every one of them undercover over the past 2 years. We got rid of all the billing shenanigans. We're protecting you, so you don't even have to think. And so, number one, you get your price, our pricing portal. Number two, you get your provider, our money map. And number three, you get your care. Those places are very likely to either have the target cash price or a better deal. And now we've commoditized the outpatient market. We've separated health care from health insurance, as we should, so that we can each gain affordable access to care, and so that we can each have more take-home pay for other important things in our lives.
So you've essentially used secret shoppers, right? I mean, that's you're going in and saying, if I've got the Blue Cross rate, how much does this procedure cost? That you have, that's what your people are doing.
Well, no, we're using our many, many millions of carrier claims data that we have without any restrictions. And we've created an average per CPT code, per billing code, for each of the 10,000 billing codes. And then we have a federal contract with 1 billion Medicare claims. And we've used the average per billing code there. So we don't have to ask them the pricing. We're trying to get rid of shenanigans such as if the hospital does the billing for a surgery center, then it gets billed as if it was the hospital, because they're using their hospital billing code, NPI numbers it's called. So a $2,000 care item now becomes $4,000. Hospital keeps $2,000 for doing the billing, and that's for about 10 minutes of a medical biller's time paid at $15 to $20 an hour. And then the surgery center still gets $2,000. Now, families can go bankrupt over that extra $2,000, making $4,000 out of nowhere is pretty tough for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
We're sensitive to that. We prevent that shenanigans. For urgent cares, many of them use ER billing codes, especially down in the South, like
really?
Florida and Texas. Yep, it's their defense is it's legal. But if your only answer is it's legal, you set the bar pretty low, according to Prater. And so you might be good enough for a carrier network. You're not good enough for Prater. We kick you out. So we're protecting you from those shenanigans on our money map. You tap the map, and that's how you save money. Google markers on a Google map of best price providers wherever you live.
Yeah, no, I watched the video. My favorite's the guy with the snorkel gear on.
The old lady at the end, she's getting it. I'm told she's 93. High energy on a Prater video from lady over 93. She's my sentimental favorite too right now.
Yeah, well, she does the only mic drop I've ever seen with a smartphone. So that.
Yes, good for her. We'll buy her another phone. It was worth it.
I don't know if she could use it. You know, it's funny, total aside, but you know, my parents are in their 70s and they don't have a smartphone. They have a flip phone. And I'm like, you know, I have patients come in, they're in their 80s or 90 and they're using smartphones. I don't know why I can't send you a text. And anyway, so when you look at the pricing differences, you have places where if someone's in, let's say Detroit, and they can find a good price in Metro Detroit for an MRI, and you may have a couple of centers. How do you get that patient to go to the right place, right? If they're a union member and their union's covering the cost of their care, does the union say have incentives saying if you use the right center, we give you money back? Or how do they get people directed to the right place to keep their expenses low?
You're correct, Eric. So if I asked you to do 5 jumping jacks, you'd look at me funny. If I held up a $100 crisp bill and I said, do 5 jumping jacks, this $100 is yours, it reframes what I asked you for. Yeah. You're going to do the jumping jacks and I'm going to give you the $100. Money is the only thing that motivates. And we have 2 money techniques. One of them is to incorporate our money map providers into the health plan design. Waive the copay and waive the co-insurance. In other words, for the union members, make them free places for care.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We've enriched your plan. So get this. The union health fund is paying less for care, but the union members are getting more care. Usually if you pay less, you get less. In the world of Prater, you pay less and you get more.
Right.
It's a short, simple message without even any pricing. They don't need to understand pricing. These facilities have such better prices. You just go there and you get your care. We'll calculate the math savings for the health and welfare fund, and that's for the executives to know. We want it to be very simple for each union member.
Yeah, so you just have an easy incentive plan. Do you find that the prices in – is the impact of this price transparency, is it enough that it's actually moving the market at this point, or do you think it's still too new and too small to be impacting centers to, like, consider, you know, what they're charging, you know, 10 times what their competitor is?
Well, the number of employers and unions pounding their fists at the table demanding it is absolutely going through the roof in the past year. And I will credit the PR behind the current Trump administration and President Trump signing the executive order on medical cost transparency. And it's really waking up a sleeping dog to say, my goodness, we do deserve to know the price of care. We are paying $12,000 per member per year on health insurance, and we're paying it blindly. So if you have 1,000 union members, you're paying $12 million blindly.
Yeah.
It's time to end that. And so there's pent-up demand for this right now. I will say that cost transparency is for the C-suite of the employer and the C-suite of the union and for the benefit consultants and health plan TPAs. Once they understand cost drivers, you can only manage what you measure. I will say that for each employee or union member, money is the motivator to get results. So the employer or union can improve their health plan design. They can even improve the software that adjudicates claims. But on the employer or union member end, it's got to be simple. Here's money. It motivates. It's in-network care. It's all routine care. If you go here, it's free care. So there's got to be a whiff of what's in it for me, for the C-suite, as well as the member.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. And it also the fact that since you've lowered the costs and made it simpler, you're going to have people who are going to start treating things sooner. And right, I mean, it's kind of, there's so much, I guess you'd say, slush in the system that there's plenty of room to save money and still have more access to care. Because
yes, yeah, 100%.
At some point, that will not be the case, right? I mean, at this point, that's just the situation.
Well, then there's the high deductible, as you just alluded to. The high deductible plans have prevented people from getting care, and it ultimately costs the each healthcare consumer and its employer or union more money. Because then they let small things fester into big medical problems, and ultimately it's bad for the person's health and it's bad for the person and the company or union's wallet. We need to take within that high deductible, national average being 6,000, with an with the national average being 80% never meet it. For those people, they do require on our Pratter platform doing a little bit of homework to understand the pricing that some of the larger self-insured companies that have rich plans, they're fortunate, they are blessed, they have rich plans, but there's many, many that have a high deductible, including myself, where you have to understand, okay, here's the Medicare payment, here's the carrier payment, I need to pay a little more Medicare, who's gonna give that to me? All these Google markers on Pratter's Money Map are gonna be the ones that play ball and give that to me. I can save thousands of dollars by accessing routine care there. I'm just gonna use the hospital for if I need hospitalized.
Yeah, well, I talked to Dr. Eskew, who is a attorney also, and we discussed the whole executive order with the cost transparency rules from the Trump administration. And it seems fairly clear to me too that it's that it will be struck down in court and that it won't be allowed. Excuse me. So because it's proprietary information, but I think, you know, the way that you really bring real cost transparency is having a market force like what you're providing and what members are demanding. I mean, as soon as all consumers, and those would be companies and, you know, unions, like you said, and regular, you know, individuals start demanding that transparency for medical pricing, it'll happen. It's not like they can have all the insurance companies can demand whatever they want is for proprietary information. But as soon as there's a huge demand for it, and that's what people insist on, it'll just be there. You don't need an executive order to force that in the market. You just need to have an expectation from consumers that that's just going to be there. Right. I mean, so it's actually more efficient.
Solutions now.
Right.
You're
right.
Yeah. We don't need any laws. Yeah. We got solutions right now. We just need people to play ball with Pratter, and we bring it to you today, now. So, it doesn't matter if the Democrats or the Republicans have been in power. Our cost of health care has gone up every single year. So while we may have, I'm going to call it a properly spirited administration for promoting medical cost transparency, you know, it's tough to believe that real results are going to be affected. I do think that on an individual consumer basis, there will be some laws that are helpful, but that doesn't change the fact that corporate America, including the unions, when they get their medical bills, it's not the same rights as an individual. And so as a corporation, there's still all kind of tricks being played to hide the pricing when an employer or union asks for all of its medical bills. We at Pratter see that, we understand it, and we know how to expose it and help the employers and unions save money.
Yeah, I mean, the real disruption, the real solutions are not going to come from regulation, you know, government fiat. It's going to come from the market. And that's where we've seen, I talk to people all the time in the show about people who are being disruptive and finding innovative solutions, even around all the regulation, even around all the, you know, the obfuscation from companies and, you know, pharmaceuticals. And they find ways to get people what they want at the price they want. And I'm convinced that this is where the solutions are going to come from. It's from, you know, people like you, or, you know, people who open their own emergency rooms and have fully transparent pricing, or surgery centers, direct primary care. I mean, those are the people who are really going to start opening up for consumers and to provide the care that people want and they expect, like they do anywhere else in the market for any other product.
Yeah, I agree. And that gold standard is for pricing is Medicare. And we have a billion price tags in all 50 states. There are Medicare reference-based pricing health plans, ones that will pay Medicare plus a percent more. And what I predict is over the next 5 years, they're going to continue to grow in popularity until the word Medicare drops. If things are done very frequently, it's going to have a close to a Medicare price tag. If things are done less frequently, more specialized surgical care, for example, it's about supply and demand. That's going to be done at a multiple of a Medicare price tag. Wait a second. Supply and demand, known pricing. Sounds like capitalism is indeed coming to healthcare.
Yeah. And anyone who suggests that we have a free market or any sort of thing close to it in the medicine has clearly not ever actually tried to purchase or work in that industry. You mentioned that your goal, now that you've sort of established Pratter with larger companies and unions, that you're looking towards having a market available for individuals. you know, for like I mentioned earlier, I have a health sharing account now, so I don't actually have insurance, and so I'm paying cash essentially, you know, and getting cash discounts when I find procedures. What sort of thing that people who my situation or other people who have health sharing or just, you know, no insurance at all, they could access this as well?
Very good friend of mine in my neighborhood said, "Hey, Bill, this is the Carfax of medicine." And he didn't mean it in a bad way. He just says, "I understand what you just said, and what you just said about how you told me how to buy something and get the price makes sense." He goes, "But I might not need something for 7 more months, and I'll forget everything you said. You use Prater when you need it, just like you might only buy a car once every 3-4 years. You use it when you need it for Carfax." And so we want to have the ability to also come out with a consumer product that's one time. Again, we're going to show what the hospitals get paid, the independent non-hospital facilities get paid, and what the doctors get paid per care item for the vast majority of the 10,000 billing codes. And we're going to show what Medicare pays, and we're going to show what the carriers pay. And we're going to have a little 90-second video on how you can actually make a purchase at that price. And we're going to walk you through also an example. So if you read, fine. If you want to watch a video, fine. But we are exposing pricing and creating the opportunity to gain affordable access to care.
When do you expect to launch that product for individual consumers?
That's a great question. How about a 3-word answer? I don't know. At first, we're providing it to the brokerage and TPA community coming March or April. I expect we're going to get some expert feedback. I think it's fine as is, but we always respect the market and get feedback. We will likely improve it. And with enough revenue and enough feedback, I would like to say that we can go live to the market by the end of this year.
Oh, wow.
But you know, My honest answer as of February 18th today is, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's a fair answer. Let's talk about Medicare payment for just a moment. As you know, in the Democratic campaign right now for president, there's a lot of talk about Medicare for all and for pricing with Medicare. And then you talk to anyone who's in medicine, like whether they're hospital executives, physicians, whoever, and you say, "Hey, how about we just make everything just Medicare pricing? It makes it real simple, right?" And that's what, you know, politicians might say. And they will always say, "Well, then there'll be no access to care. The hospitals go under." What do you say to that? Because I mean, I think on some level, we just discussed that Medicare has the lowest prices. And you just accept them because, well, it's better than nothing. But if all your business was Medicare, you wonder if a lot of these institutions, or certainly, you know, physician pay, certainly physicians, some physicians are paid way worse in Medicare versus other specialties. I mean, I'll mention that with anesthesia. It's very poor for Medicare payment compared to other specialties. What sort of...
It's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it doesn't work.
Anybody says Medicare for all is saying that just to get votes and... that's it. Throw our country under the bus. Nobody believes it. Yes, it is the number one payer of Medicare. Yes, it helps create a gold standard. But yes, everybody in the medical community, whether you're a doctor, your hospital, surgery center, or imaging center, we understand it pays on the low side. We also all understand that if 100% of our business came from Medicare, almost all of us would be out of business, period. You know, a typical hospital that may have a half of its payer government related, Medicare, Medicaid, that other half, they typically are going to have to get 180% of Medicare to break even. So we do know that as a whole, all medical providers need higher than a Medicare payment, but a Medicare plus payment does make sense.
Yeah. So
you don't want Medicare for all. I mean, it goes back to Ronald Reagan. I remember his famous line, knocking on your door. "I'm here for the government. And I'm here to help." And everybody laughed, and everybody should.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, you, you absolutely could have Medicare for all and it would work, but you'd have to just raise the rates of Medicare pays. And if you don't do that, then you're going to present massive shortages within the market on personnel, on facilities, medications, whatever. Because yes, it is true that Medicare rates are accepted, but that does not mean that that is the rate that, like you said, it can't be the baseline rate for everybody. And that's just a market reality. And if you were to do that, then you're going to have a situation where you have rationing. I guess you always have rationing, either self-rationing or within a healthcare system, like a insurance company or something. They'll say, well, you can't go to this person unless you've gone through three steps before. That's sort of a type of rationing and delaying care. But you'd have real rationing, right? Like there's no one, you can't go to see someone for 2 years for your hip replacement or whatever. And so
it's got to be Medicare Plus. We can have a friendly discussion on what should doctors get paid. We go by categories. Doctors, well, if you pay them about 120% of Medicare, you're getting equal, if not a few dollars more than what the carriers pay them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, currently, what do hospitals get? Well, for imaging studies in a carrier world, they're getting 475% of Medicare. For imaging, they're getting almost 800% of Medicare. That's too egregious. What should they get? Probably about 180% of Medicare. What about surgery centers, imaging centers? Well, we got friendly debates on the 130 to 150% of Medicare. It's got to be a Medicare Plus. And by category, there's different reasons on, for why we would recommend, a price purchase point. But basing it off of a gold standard and then letting the market adjust on supply and demand with all the known pricing is what makes the most sense over the next handful of years.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking at a paper recently. I don't know if it was in Journal of Surgery or something like that, but they were looking at comparing Medicare reimbursement for general surgery procedures like a laparoscopy, so taking out a gallbladder, and that the reimbursement rates for physicians, the physician fees have gone down in Medicare for the last, I don't know, when they've compared it like 10 years ago or something like that. So the money is not going to physicians, yet the cost of these procedures has gone up a lot. And I can tell you that the time for procedures and none of that has changed, right? I mean, that's all, they still go pretty fast and it's going to the other, the hospital ether, which is this facility fees, buying jet fuel for executives and all that kind of sort of thing. So I think oftentimes especially in the lay press now, you see physicians maligned, and there are plenty of reasons to be upset with physicians and not being conscious of the fiduciary responsibility of their patients, by just ordering extra exams and things like that are unnecessary. But the fact that they're getting just piles of money more and more is really, it's not true.
Well, if we expose the underbelly, as you're alluding to, the electronic medical record, also referred to as the EMR, for the 60% of 900,000 physicians employed by the hospital is used to control the physicians and control the patient flow. And if you don't refer to a certain location, you get fired as a doctor. And the doctors don't care about the bankruptcy of the patient or the ability of whether the care is affordable or not. It's about making sure you don't lose your job.
Yeah.
This is a sad reality that does exist that very, very few, maybe only me, are willing to discuss, because unless the problem's exposed, there's no solutions created. Let me show you to your point, though. I was asked this recently. Tell me a hernia repair. It's an inguinal hernia repair. What does Medicare pay and what do the carriers pay on average? Medicare pays a hospital, according to the World of Prayer, $2,783 is a facility fee for a hernia repair.
Mm-hmm.
A freestanding surgery center, they pay $2,487. Very similar. Good news is the federal government does not discriminate. I'm pleased to see that as a taxpayer. Now let's go with the carriers, meaning Blue Shield, United, Cigna, and Aetna pay on average nationwide. They pay the hospital $5,869. And they pay the freestanding surgery facilities $2,586. In other words, they're paying them what Medicare gets, but they're paying the hospitals double, or about 200% of Medicare. Follow the money and things start to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and we know, you and I know, obviously, the people performing the surgery don't get paid differently depending where they're operating, unless they were, you know, maybe they had part ownership of a facility or something like that. But essentially, you get paid the same to take out a hernia, whether you're at the outpatient center, whether you're in the hospital proper.
Well, the variation's not in the doctor fee. The variation is in the facility fee, whether it's a hospital or not, whether it's a carrier or not.
Yeah, so you should at least get free parking when you go to the hospital for your surgery, right? That's the least they could do.
That doesn't happen either, as you know.
Can you describe briefly what your business model is? I mean, so you're doing all these great things. I mean, do you charge a fee to the for your like a consulting fee or per member fee? How do you guys charge companies?
So we consider ourselves under the umbrella of an employee benefit or a member benefit in the case of a union, and we do have a per member per month price, and for it's modest, and for that we get the Pratter report, the list of cost drivers, the itemized executive report for the C-suites twice a year. Each member gets a money map mobile experience. Just tap the map. They get to know where to go in their network to save the most money. For that price tag, we were willing to work to tie in the incentives of copay and co-insurance, waiving them or giving them money on a Visa card. And we give them access to a search engine. We put in the test name and zip code and see the real prices paid. And we also have a medical biller staff cost concierge. And we're on your side. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you as much as we can and be as candid as we can because we care that you have affordable access to care. And we wrap that all up and present that as our cost savings opportunity for employers and unions.
Well, I really appreciate the conversation and learning more about Pratter. And this is exciting stuff. This is the disruptive things that I think we need more of in the market. And so I appreciate what you're doing and I wish you the best of success. Aside from going to Pratter.us, I think is the website, and which be in the show notes at theparadox.com/079. What other places should people find out more about you or follow you? And I don't know if you are active in social media.
I'm pretty active, mostly on LinkedIn. We do have a Twitter account. I will tell you this, that we are constantly uploading new matter on Pratter.us under Learn More. We have consumer tips. The favorite one there is how to deal with a surprise medical bill. Number one is prevention. Number two is you got the bill. Uh-oh, what do I do? And number three is they want to take me to court. What are my legal rights and what should I do? Hmm. So we have that. We have four videos and growing that are expanding. We have some white papers that are downloaded. But at Pratter.us, consumer tips or Learn More, I believe we have lots of free, valuable information that of our lifetime of experience in the medical billing world, now you got some good stuff at your fingertips that nobody else is willing to tell you.
Well, Dr. Hennessy of Pratter, thank you so much for being on The Paradox.
You're quite well. Thanks for having me. Again, happy Pratter Day to you and your audience.
You as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Paradox. If you like what the doc is doing, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. And share the show with your friends. Become a supporting listener to get access to special bonuses at patreon.com/theparadox. Show notes can be found at theparadox.com.